name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Dear friends, at this licensing service, I do not need to introduce Reverend Nathaniel to any of you. You already know him very, very well. Nevertheless, a licensing or a renewal of a license is always a big day for the people of any chaplaincy, since the priest can continue a promising ministry here, this connection with you, Paul, in this beautiful city of Prague. As you know, Reverend Nathaniel comes from a church in the Anglican Communion that is a united church, the Church of North India, bringing together both episcopal and non-episcopal traditions. And he can continue to build on this heritage of unity and on what he has already achieved. Similarly, in many ways, we will be welcoming someone who is not new to you, John Newland, and he will be receiving his permission to officiate from the bishop once again. And friends, as a leader in your church, and so friends, all of you can look forward to a future of hope as together you seek to share the good news of Jesus Christ in this city. Now, one of the most remarkable things to happen in the whole of the 20th century was the establishment of the International Court of Justice at The Hague in the Netherlands. Now, not everyone agrees with this institution, that this particular institution is a good idea or fulfills an important role. But one must admit that it represents an incredibly bold move in the way the world conducts its affairs. During the last century, and even in this century, we have seen and continue to see not only how the world has gone to grow together, but also the massive and horrible crimes committed against humanity. The International Court of Justice continues to be challenged to address injustice. And so, friends, justice is one of the most profound longings of the human race. The most profound longings of the human race. If there is no justice, then deep down within ourselves, we know that something is out of joint. Something is out of joint. Justice is always hard to grapple with, and harder still to put into practice. For some, it is not an issue of significance at all. However, this has never stopped many from seeking justice, speaking out about it, praying about it, and developing initiatives to do things better. For justice means putting the situation back in balance. Putting the situation back in balance. Central to Jewish and Christian traditions is the realization that the longing for justice comes from the Creator God Himself. This longing comes from the Creator God Himself. We believe that God will eventually bring about justice on a universal scale, a way that the International Court of Justice can perhaps only dream about. God's justice, friends, will be overwhelming. In the words of will roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And so, all the stories in the 25th chapter of Matthew 25, all these stories are not just about preparedness, but also about justice. These stories in Matthew 25 are also about justice. The people in the stories make their judgments. The foolish bridesmaids decide that there is no need to rush. The slave with the one talent decides to do nothing. And the goats decide that there are some people who are not worth bothering. When God makes his judgment, it is completely different from theirs. All the people assembled before the throne of glory are bowled over, are taken aback, are stunned by God's judgment. And more particularly, who is seated on the seat of judgment? And no one was expecting the Son of Man on the throne of glory with all the angels recognizing him, all the angels recognizing him as God. And the people, as we read, as was read a little while ago, are separated into two groups, like a shepherd who separates the sheep from the goats, some to the right, some to the left, by the familiar figure of Jesus. Both groups are totally unprepared to be judged in this way by the Son of Man. They were totally unprepared. Here he is, exalted to a position of honor as the ruler of the world and justified, at last vindicated after all the ridicule and suffering he had undergone. Both groups are furthermore unprepared for the kind of justice, the standard of justice meted out to them. As the rulings are delivered, they point out that they never expected judged for that. The judge, by way of explanation, could have pointed to the law and the prophets, which are very clear about what God expects. The reading from Ezekiel, for example, shows God searching for the lost sheep and longing to care for them. It also shows God's judgment on those fat sheep who keep the grasslands for themselves and push away the hungry and those in need. What we are being confronted with, friends, is the way in which God's just rule is exercised. Our text we have read to us today therefore invite us to see and live out our present lives, and I use the word invite here, in the broader, wider perspective of God's kingdom, here and now, and also in the future. And it is perhaps tempting to understand the image Matthew is painting of a final judgment day on which Jesus will separate sheep from goats in terms of a merciless judge who finally settles scores by reward and punishment. Now, with that narrow understanding of our text, it would be just too easy to come to the conclusion that Christians preach a contradictory message of a God of love and forgiveness who at the same time rejects those who do not accept his authority or obey what he commands. That would make it all too easy to reject so-called Christian teaching. I believe, however, that this interpretation is contrary to the good news of Jesus Christ. Perhaps we need to examine ourselves to discern how far we ourselves think and act in terms of settling scores, of rewarding good deeds and punishing those who have wronged us. This pattern of acting is alien to God. Rewarding good deeds, punishing those who have wronged us.
It is alien to God.
It is God's nature, friends, to invite us into a fellowship, a relationship with Him and with each other.
You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength,
and your neighbor as yourself.
God does not order, or He does not conscript us into His service and into the relationship with Him and our fellow human beings. Friends, He invites us. He invites us. How we choose to respond lies with each one of us. We may choose to enter into the joy of such fellowship, or we may choose not to. This relationship, nevertheless, does make its own demands, for we learn to see our life in a perspective that factors in God and His plan for us and for the world. We live our lives in awareness of those around us. We find ourselves in a position of being jointly responsible, not just for ourselves and our immediate dear ones, but in our wider sense, responsible that greater justice be served. We can no longer just pass by the beggar on the street, or the homeless person, or the refugees from across the sea, without recognizing the challenge that they pose for us in our own comfort zones. Now, friends, I am not pleading that we either give every person who begs from us a coin as we pass them by, nor that we give away more than we can afford to of our goods and our time. Neither response is truly helpful beyond easing our conscience. What God is asking of us is that we have a conscience at all, that we care, and that as far as we are able, we live and struggle for greater justice in our world today. For this, our honest remembrance of the past and the vision of Christ's future reign of justice, mercy, and peace, this will serve us well. And therefore, friends, it is in this spirit that I wish Reverend Nathaniel, and also reader John Newton, well in their continuing ministry with you all. May God bless you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.